like a dream. Walking halls in the middle of the night, that's my favorite thing. Waking up in the middle of my life, nothing's what it seems. I feel the fire come alive. Feel the fire come alive.
Welcome to New Realities and New Realities Radio. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and this is a radio program of a television show I've been doing for the last 15 years in Manhattan Cable. And the themes of this, or the themes of New Realities, is and we're dedicated to exploring evolving potentials in an evolving world. This series explores the idea of how to become more conscious beings. I present programs that invite the listener to look at their automatic behaviors and take free rein of their body, mind, and spirit so that we can help to inhabit a better planet, a better world. And this program is constantly on the lookout for new and different perspectives in achieving a greater and more peaceful reality for the planet. It's about embracing a synthesis of rational understanding with mystical awareness. It's a program that I hope to expand the consciousness of people listening by expanding my own consciousness. So I look for people, basically, who are bringing new ideas and old ideas back into the public forum. Tonight I have a very exciting guest and someone who's really used her life as an experiment, her life and her body and her experience of reality. She's Dr. Patty Taylor. I'll be talking about, giving a more of a formal introduction in about 5 minutes to her, but at the beginning of this show, I usually like to talk about the events that are going on mostly in and around New York, and there are events that New Realities or me, Alan Steinfeld, host and sponsor or somehow collaborate with. And when I say this May 17th, which is Thursday, there's going to be a talk at 4 West 43rd Street about the truth of global warming. And, you know, global warming sort of become the hot issue, so to speak, of the hour. But there's many different controversies around that, what is causing global warming and what we can do about it. And there's someone coming to town called the Internet Skeptic that says that global warming is really not a phenomenon, a man-made phenomenon, but it's a natural phenomenon, and all this reaction is really another way of brainwashing and controlling us. So that's his opinion. It's not quite my opinion until I see the presentation. What else is coming up? With John DeMartini, for those who don't know him, he was in The Secret, and he's going to be giving a talk on life mastery and achieving your destiny on May 31st. And if you have questions about John's work, and I highly recommend his work because John, if you saw The Secret, talked about how he was basically autistic. He couldn't read, he couldn't write, and people just ignored him, and he decided that he wanted to make something of his life. So he taught himself how to read and write and focus his energy, and he wanted to be a world-class speaker, and now he's achieved that goal. He's able to inspire others, and he has a great method of letting go of the past, dissolving all the attachments we have, which he calls the DeMartini method, and he's going to be doing that in something called the Breakthrough Intensive in New York on June 3rd, 2nd and 3rd. So if you have any questions about that, you can go to drdemartini.com or call 212-473-6388 after this show. Let's see, what else is coming up? You can also tune into, oh, this is very exciting, the World Global Peace Meditation Day next Sunday, May 20th. And that is a worldwide meditation at 12 noon. For those in New York, we will be gathering in Central Park at the Rainbow Picnic, which is 103rd Street towards the west side. If you have any questions about that, email newrealities@earthlink.net. I don't like to give too much in the beginning because it just sounds like a shopping list. So if you are interested in a calendar or an update, please email me at newrealities@earthlink.net, and I will send you a whole calendar listing of events in May and in New York mostly, and also around the world. Just another little news announcement. It was, I just got back from a trip to Italy to a spiritual community called Damanhur, which is D-A-M-A-N-H-U-R, and they are a community dedicated to the revelation of spirit, which means that, it's hard to explain, because everything in this little microcosm of 1,000 people is dedicated to a new way of perception. So its founder, called Falco, who means falcon, and they've created new models in health and healing and science and technology. They've built an underground temple. It's really a phenomenal place that I recommend at least looking up on the internet, damanhur.com, D-A-M-A-N-H-U-R. Okay, that's sort of enough for announcements right now. I want to welcome all the new listeners to BBS Radio, because tonight's guest has sent out a great email, and I think we'll have some of her fans listening. So I'll just give a little intro, and then we'll get Dr. Patty Taylor on the line. So Dr. Patty Taylor is the author and master and pioneer of something called Expanded Orgasm, A Path of Divine Rapture. This is a deep connection through transformative sensuality into your physical, mental, and emotional levels of consciousness. It says here, you'll work with Patty Taylor, this is in the workshop he's doing in New York, with a variety of techniques, attitudes, and states of ecstasy that will profoundly enhance your ability to give and receive pleasure. In this enjoyable and joyful process, you and your partners will learn to be master teachers for others. And what she's really going to talk to about tonight is a spiritual path she sort of, I guess, came upon in this work of Expanded Orgasm called Kashmir Shaivism. And Kashmir Shaivism was an oral tradition coming out of Kashmir about the true tantric path of awakening and initiation. And we'll be getting into what tantra is. There's other shows I've done on the subject, but Patty will start us from, I hope, ground zero, and we'll work our way back into the deep levels of consciousness and manifestation that Kashmir Shaivism is a product of or talks about. So it's a spiritual path, and it's a spiritual path that includes the body and what it is to be in the body and to realize consciousness in the body. So just waiting for Patty to come on the line. Patty, are you there yet?
I am here. Hi, Alan.
So I will wait for that. And just a little more background about tonight's show. I also will take phone calls. If you go to BBS Radio, which you probably are on, there's phone numbers there. And if towards the second half hour, if there's anyone who wants to ask a question, I will take phone calls. Patty's website is expandedlovemaking.com, and she is a doctor. I'll have her tell her some of her story, but she is a California certified sexologist and body worker. And her books include The Enchantment of the Opposites, How to Create Great Relationships, and the 2002 bestseller, Expanded Orgasm, Soar to Ecstasy at Your Lover's Every Touch. And what Patty talks about is the experience of touch and what it means to touch and be touched in the most present and conscious way. So I am also available for other suggestions for any other upcoming guests that people might think fits into these topics of consciousness and the expanse of consciousness, you can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. So I'm just waiting for Patty because we have
Hey, Ellen, I'm right here.
And we'll be going until about 10:30 New York time.
Hello.
10:30 California time or wherever else you're listening to in the middle. Okay, and now here is my guest, Patty Taylor. Patty, are you there? Michelle.
Ellen, hi, are you there?
Patty?
Yeah, hi, Ellen.
Hi, good. I'm glad you got through. I was giving you a big build-up as we
Probably got longer and longer, right?
Right, and so I had to go through your whole resume. And
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad we finally connected.
Yeah, so I gave a little rundown briefly about what it is you're talking about, Kashmir Shaivism, and some of your background about expanded orgasm, but and that you are a certified sexologist. But I think it's important for people to know that you started from a very conservative background. Can you just give us this whole story leading up to the sort of discovery, not the whole story, but how you discovered the potential of orgasm, really? Who you were back
then.
That's
true. I started out in life.
Partly how it came about that you realized who you really were.
Well, I started out as a blue blood, as it were. My name is Patricia Huntington Taylor, and basically I have an MBA in finance, and I was a money manager on Wall Street. And I
think
you were
pretty straight-laced, you know, you were living in New York, you were making lots of money, you had no idea about spirituality or anything like that.
That's correct.
And then you told me a little bit, we don't have to go through the whole story, but you met someone and suddenly something popped open inside you, huh?
I had a Kundalini awakening. I met a man in the mountains, you would say, who gave me a very profound initiation, tantric initiation. I had no idea what it was at the time. A year and a half later, I had a Kundalini awakening. I had no idea what that was either. And I went into the light.
Well, can you describe what that is, actually, what that meant, that you had a Kundalini awakening?
What?
What did that feel like in your body?
That felt like, first of all, it lasted 6 weeks of the most neurologically bizarre fireworks of everything you can imagine going off inside of me.
Like what?
Ice stabbing, snake biting, electrocution.
Inside your body, you felt this electrical current, you know?
Everything. My body would be like there was dry ice on it. I'd be freezing cold. Every kind of strange symptom just imaginable. I would wake up in the middle of the night, and it would be in my spine, and I would feel like I was being electrocuted.
What exactly you think was happening? I mean, what is the physiology behind a Kundalini awakening? What's going on there?
Well, I think what's happening is that they say that the Kundalini rests at the base of everybody's spine in the form of a curled up snake, and it's the potential we all have inside every one of us. It's our creative potential. And when it gets awakened, it makes a journey up through our system, our chakra system. This is what they say. And usually it has to, once it's awakened, go through a series of blocks and to make its journey. And it can be very painful going through those blocks as it meets with the resistance. Because I had such a very intense awakening through my initiation, it kind of dynamited the journey of the Kundalini awakening up through my system. So it was like getting an atom bomb going through me. So it was very, very painful and intense. It culminated in a sort of a near-death experience for me. And
the Kundalini awakening culminated in a near-death experience?
I'm sorry, what?
You're saying that your Kundalini awakening culminated in a near-death experience for
it
you?
It did. My former person, the money manager, actually left my body and never to return when the Kundalini came into my crown. It actually left my body, and I went into the light. I went to a very orgasmic light.
Right. You were feeling bliss.
And the most amazing bliss imaginable, just unspeakable bliss. And I never thought I was coming back. I did come back. But when I came back, I was a different person came back than the person that left.
But you're saying you were a different. This is I want because you told me this before. I really want to understand what you mean. You was the soul essence different. Your soul was different, or the aspects of your personality were different.
It took me quite a while to sort this out myself. But I actually,
right.
And it's not like someone handed me a roadmap when I came back, Alan.
Right.
But as far as I can tell, once I came back into my body, I had a very different personality. And I had a very different understanding about life. My priorities were different. Very characteristic of people who have had near-death experiences and have gone into the light, and they've talked a lot about it, and I was very typical. My focus was very much on love, on being in the present moment. I had an intense interest in living each moment very fully, as if it were my last moment. It had been profoundly altered by having.
Right?
I'd had a life review. I'd seen how tragic my life was, so to speak,
uh-huh.
before I died, and it really changed me to go through that experience.
And that same focus has stayed with you, right? Would you say that?
It was a profound, just as much as it was a near-death experience, it was also the flip side of that. It was an awakening. And
wow.
Just as much as I've had an awakening, I mean, if that's something we can talk about, I think a lot of people have had awakenings. So, but this was a very deep, profound awakening. And quite honestly, it's the most profound thing that's ever happened to me because I was truly born again. And I
right.
came back as a different person.
But you're still that different person now, right?
Completely, totally.
I mean, you never went back to the old thing. It was a permanent shift.
There's no way I could go back. In fact, I've tried to go back because there are ways in which sometimes I've tried to understand aspects of my other life that sometimes run me. I've even tried hypnosis to go back. And I can't go back. It's like a hard drive data failure. You know, there's nothing there. There are patterns in cellular memory. I've learned behaviors. Obviously, I can tell you what my house looked like that I grew up in. I have that kind of memory, but I have no emotional ties to that life. I mean, it's a true walk-in situation. It was a soul
exchange. Well, it sounds more than a walk-in. It sounds like you've gotten, like the soul sort of entered your being and you're functioning from a soul level of consciousness rather than a manufactured personality level. I mean, I would just say it sounds like you've awakened to your true self.
That could be it, too.
Whatever. I mean, who knows? I mean, but you're a different person, and you're living in the present moment more.
It could have. I would say the one thing that, the only thing there's a few things that are really strange about what happened, okay, I'm just going to bring up. One of them is that when I came back, I had some powers that I didn't have before.
Like
for
what?
Example, and some of them were very unique and were very heightened right after the awakening happened. In particular, I had a kind of X-ray vision that was extremely pronounced. I still have it to some extent now where I could read auras and that kind of stuff and see like X-ray vision into people. But there was another way in which I was able to completely understand and connect into the Kashmiri Shaivist verse and text, and completely tap into this mode of understanding at a level that was so deep and so profound. And there's no way I could have possibly understood that, given my background. And that is
how did you even get into Kashmiri Shaivism? But how did you even know what it was, or you know, where did you start to pick up this particular tradition? I mean, you know,
right, exactly. Well, I would say for a few years after it happened, you know, I just thought I had a virus, okay? But I did get involved in Tantra. I was a different person. And about 3 years into the experience,
mm-hmm.
somebody said, you know, you really ought to have an expanded orgasm. I really think you would like that.
Well,
I had my first expanded orgasm.
But before you get into
that, expanded orgasm,
coming back as this new person tap you into sexuality in the first place? Where did the sexuality, because before that you were pretty, you know, I would say what, normal sexual, sort of sexual, but you weren't the type of sexual being you are now.
Right,
right.
I was just your average, uptight, straight-laced, thought I knew everything and knew nothing kind of person.
Right,
you know?
So how did sexuality fit into this awakening?
Huh?
How did sexuality fit into this new awakening of who you were?
You know, when I came back, it was like I was 0 years old. I was a child. I was innocent. My body was beautiful. My spirit was open. I was like sort of love incarnate, and so I had no programming about sex. I loved everybody. I loved people, and I was like 32 years old, and I was a very attractive woman, and I found Tantra. I was in California, and that was very easy for me to wind up in Tantra, which I just gravitated to. It's like, so it wasn't hard for me to wind up in a Tantra circle and getting an offer for an expanded orgasm.
I see, because we are basically sexual beings, so when you have this pure awakening, that's part of our essential nature, I hear you saying.
Yes, it flowed freely as a series of yeses, and it was like, oh God, I love this, I love that. So absolutely, I just sort of followed my passion, and it was like, wow, this is a lot more fun than I used to have. So this is all
right.
Good.
So then you had your first expanded orgasm, which meant what? Can you describe what that means?
Well, it was called an extended orgasm back then. Extended orgasm, I would call it an expanded orgasm. You can't stretch time without expanding into space, so I'll just stick with expanded orgasm. An expanded orgasm is something where you start to touch somebody's genitals, and rather than just bringing them over into a climax that lasts for, you know, 3 seconds, and then they kind of, you know, you're done, it feels really good, and you spread it out, so it keeps feeling really, really good. And in this case, the person who was doing it to me kind of played me like a violin, so he kept stretching it out and stretching it out, and I just kept spreading it through my arms and my legs and my feet and my head, and pretty soon I was just like breathing fire out my feet, my hands, the top of my head. And there was so much feeling going through my entire body that I literally went back into the kind of orgasmic light that I had in my awakening. I mean,
wow.
It was so intense and so amazing. My whole being was connected up, and I went into bliss.
Huh. That is great. That is a great way of describing it. So that stayed with you, that sort of, it sounds like it changed your DNA in a sense.
I was astonished. I could not believe that this was free and legal, and that in my own body I contained the ability to generate the same kind of bliss that I had had in my awakening. Now, granted, it wasn't of the same magnitude, but it was the same nectar, the same divine nectar. And when you've tasted that nectar once, you never forget that nectar. It's the most interesting, amazing thing. And to think that you could go back there and have it again, it was like in that moment, coming out of that expanded orgasm, I said, I'm going to make this my life's work to learn how to do this, you know.
And do it for other people.
And have this on tap.
But wasn't it because you had that awakening initially that you were able to get so high from it? I mean, if you hadn't had that before, there was a doorway open for you, it sounded like,
well,
initially.
Well, there was a doorway open for me. So what happened was this, that I think that when I began further studies, what I found is that a lot of people were going into ecstasy when they were having expanded orgasms, too.
Uh-huh.
So whether they were going into, you know, having my experience, I can't tell you that they were going to my level. But what I can tell you is that the way that I wound up teaching expanded orgasm is as a path to transcendence. Okay, so I don't know if other people were doing it just to have a good time, because you can do this just to have a good time. But I began teaching expanded orgasm, among other things, as a path to transcendence. And I do believe
that
as people have had an awakening
the bodily pleasure takes you beyond the body itself. Is that what you're saying?
To their awakening and build on that awakening.
So, but I'm saying there's the feeling of the sensation goes beyond the body.
Yes.
Because you
absolutely
connect to other realms of who you are non-physically as well.
Right. I did a study, a research study of 44 people in 2000 for my dissertation. I studied 44 people, 22 men and 22 women. And what I found is that they were having all kinds of transcendental experiences. They were merging with the divine. They were having all kinds of extremely extraordinary experiences. So this is not unique to me. I think people are going into very extraordinary states of consciousness through various types of expanded orgasm.
So this is really the foundation of Tantra, in the sense, is to have the transcendent experience through the stimulation of the senses, or the sexual senses.
Well, I talk
that?
About Kashmiri Shaivist Tantra, and
okay.
I would say that the Kashmiri Shaivist taught many, many practices. There's 112 in the Vijnana Bhairava alone. There are many, many more. And there, you can get to enlightenment through awareness. You can get there through touch, as you said before. Vibration is a very important component. So that's another one. And but it's also extremely deeply important to Kashmiri Shaivists to work with this deep creative potential. And yes, they like to work with things at many levels. And on one level, the sexual seed is a very deep level of our creative potential. So when you can work with the vibration, which is very orgasmic, and of course the body is divine in our tradition, and you can work with spreading the sexual seed and raising the kundalini, which you do with the vibration, and circulating your creative potential throughout your body. I mean, these are highly transcendental practices that are going back to the very high
state.
They
go back thousands of years within this particular tradition from Kashmir. I mean, isn't that true? These oral texts that have been passed on generation to generation.
I'm sorry, what?
No, I'm just saying it's an ancient tradition that's been passed on basically orally or through the act of initiation.
It has been, yes. There are some incredible doctrines out there that talk about these things, and they are said to be secret texts. And one thing I find quite amazing is one of the reasons they're secret is if you don't, they're written in, you know, plain English, but you have to be open to receiving them. So I'm going to guess right now that for the listeners on this show, if you're open to the vibration, if you yourself have had awakening in your life, if you've had those times where you've just, you know, merged with the divine, where you've gotten with certainty, where you've known beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is something that is larger than yourself, that you are just way so much bigger than your, you know, ego, and that you are just this amazingly divine being, and that you are awake, then you can reconnect that through these practices, and you can continually reawaken yourself, and these practices tell you how through the verse. And that's what's so beautiful, because when you listen to people's words, they tell you what you should do and what you shouldn't do, and that gets, you know, very confusing because there's so many people out there. But you listen to these secret texts, and if you're awake, you can just feel the energy of these texts. And they don't mislead you, because there's a transmission coming right out of the text. And they go right back to these ancient saints. And that's what's so powerful about them.
Well, where can we find the text just so we can be open to the transmission? Where are they?
The transmissions, well, right here in front of me. I've got a bunch of them. They're absolutely beautiful and amazing, and I think they're as relevant today as the day that they were written. A lot of them, all of them.
Well, what's the name of that book that you mentioned, Wonderment? And
okay, well, that was the that's called the Vishnite, Vijnana Bhairava, and that's the Yoga of Delight, Wonder, and Astonishment. And as one example, there's several really major Kashmiri Shaivist texts. That's one of them. And get this. This is like, I think this is the most amazing tradition. They say that to get enlightenment is not something that happens when we die, but to really have liberation needs to happen in this lifetime, in our bodies. And it happens in a subtle shift in our attention, in those moments of delight, wonder, and astonishment. And they give us 112 ways to practice in the Yoga of Delight, Wonder, and Astonishment. And this was written in the 7th century A.D. And so that's just... the Yoga of Delight, Wonder, and Astonishment.
Do they all involve the activation of some kind of sexual energy?
I'm sorry, what?
Do they all involve some form of sexual energy, all these practices?
No, in this particular, in the Vijnana Bhairava, I would say there's about 5 of them that are, one of them will say that at the moment of orgasm, that's one of them. And then, of course, you can just remember the moment of orgasm. But, you know, it's that moment, often with the Kashmiri Shaivist text, it's that pause. It's that moment where you go, you know, when you go, oh, wow. And you're just there before you have a thought, where you're just, where you're free of everything, where you're just so... You're in that amazement, and you just, your whole body is just electrified, and that's the enlightenment. But there's other ones too. For example, I'll just read you one. Oh, here's number 83. Oh, goddess, owing to the swinging of the body of a person seated on a moving vehicle, or owing to a self-caused swinging of his body slowing, slowly, his mental state becomes calm. So even just, you know, you're sitting there somewhere swinging, and the swinging will hypnotize you, and your mind will just go somewhere. And so sometimes these are very simple practices, but you can do them. So, and not all of them are sexual at all.
Well, no, but I would like to stay, because you are an expert in the area of sexuality.
Well, let's stay with the sexual ones, and that's fine with me.
No, but I want to ask you about this whole idea of transcendence and enlightenment and expanded awareness, is that so many people say that sex is, or the sexual energy brings us down, and it's a distraction from the higher levels of consciousness. But you're saying, I think, no, it's the fuel for those higher levels of consciousness. Is that right?
Okay. Well, here's what I would say. First of all, what I would say is that in Kashmiri Shaivism, we do not like to. I mean, yes, that's true what you said, and. I would say there's sort of a bias against you can call it sexual energy, but there's a really strong tendency to like to look at things beyond their separations. So I would just look at it as the energy, and it's like you want to just use your energy and take it from being you use your whole being and use the energy in your body while being sexual. But yes, absolutely. If you are having an experience that includes all of your body, okay, you have more nerve endings in your genitals than anywhere else in your body. So let's say you're having an expanded orgasm.
Right.
Okay. Or let's say I am.
I am having a
very full body, full being engagement of everything in my body. I am stimulating my hormones. I am in a vibrational state. I am stimulating all of my secretions. I am vibrating on many, many different levels. I cannot separate anymore. My ego has dissolved, okay? You cannot be like a body or a mind or a heart or even a spirit anymore. You are just oneness. You go into a place of total oneness, and you absolutely transcend, and your whole being is so fully engaged, so vibratory. You become vibration itself. Your mind just becomes super conscious, and you just become emissional, okay? And the kundalini is just raised, and it's just you're just vibrating outwards. It's quite an amazing thing. I don't know if I would
say
that
you
will
be
coming
to New York actually
so much more than that. Okay, the sexual energy is
this type of experience.
But it's included in there.
Right at the end of June 23rd and
24th. What?
To give people the opportunity to have, to tap into that. Isn't that true?
I'm sorry, what? We don't have a lot of information, that's why I
was
keeping it.
I just wanted to give you a little commercial saying you are going to be in New York June 22nd to the 24th.
That's correct.
What?
That's correct. And I'm going to say that I think that one of the biggest problems that we have in our society today, I'm going to talk on Friday night, is simply one of disintegration, that people are disconnected between their body, their mind, their heart, and their spirit. And Kashmiri Shaivism will go on and talk at great length about that. And there are very, very simple exercises that you can do to connect yourself up and go into the vibration there are very, very simple ways that you can connect yourself up through touch. In a moment, remember I said it's just a subtle shift in awareness that can take you into enlightenment, and that's what gets me so blown away by these practices, is that these speak to people that are living in a fragmented life to help them go into a sense of
the fact that
ecstasy, which
the men and women are engaged and practicing and then sharing a polarity of energies, the male being the yang, the woman being the yin, that seems to me, and you can tell me what you think, that that increases the power of that experience, because it's not just self-generating, but it's acting on the power of that polarity. Has that been your experience?
Oh, you mean you're saying
because you're with someone else,
and a woman kind of a thing.
And you're giving something back. It creates a even more intense frequency.
To do it with a partner.
Yes.
Well, I absolutely love working with a partner for many, many reasons. For one thing, it just doubles the amount of resonance that you can have, the opportunities for resonance. You can do all of this stuff. As you know, I already told you that you can rock, for example, and that's one way. And if you think about it, that's one way for enlightenment. We didn't go into the sweet rocking very much, but when you're actually making love as in intercourse, that kind of rocking can you know, blow your mind. Well, why is that? That's the same rocking. There's a certain kind of rocking that two people can do together that will send you into nirvana. And I'm certain that that passage right there that I read is that same rocking. And we actually are going to be teaching that kind of rocking this weekend at some point. I call it sweet rocking because when you get it, it blows your mind. Well, two people can do that with each other. I've never sweet rocked myself. So there are things that you can do with a partner that are just amazing in terms of surrender and control. You can set up resonance and reverberation. So the Shiva Shakti dynamic are fabulous. So absolutely.
Well, how do you, let's say stop, but how do you prevent the degradation into pure pleasure? Not that there's anything wrong with pure pleasure, but, you know, like almost like a drug experience. How do you keep the awareness of you being in a way transcendent, as opposed to, you know, this idea of it, sex or that pleasure just being a drug, you know?
That's a great question.
Yeah, so
how
is that difference?
That's a great question, and, you know, it is true that in our lineage, they would say that if you did succumb to just using, chasing after the pure pleasure, you're really never going to capture the benefits of transcendence. You want to really go for the transcendence and not get lured, as it were, into the chasing of the carnal, you know, lower level delight.
Right, because that feels so good. People want more and more and more of it because of their ego gratification.
I'm sorry, so, what
did
you say?
I say it's an ego gratification. Oh, this feels so good, good, good. I want more and more and more of it because it is a drug. It's your own body's chemistry, but it's your drug. So what do they say then about transcending that?
Well, I guess I can just talk from my own experience on that. First of all, when you integrate, which again I'm going to be showing on in my class, I'll probably do a little in my talk on Friday night, which is, you know, talking a party and all that stuff.
Right.
We do like to have fun, and on Saturday and on Sunday. But when you do integrate, you go into a transcendent state, and you know, pleasure becomes part of it. But once you're in a transcendent state, I think there's so much more than pleasure that's actually even better than pleasure.
Well,
and
then I guess how do you get to the transcendent state? Because most people, you know, have sex and don't have any idea about a transcendent state.
Bliss or ecstasy, they'd go for bliss. And I think that's what this is about. So I think for myself, there's nothing quite as interesting for me as to go into these states of consciousness, which I must go into 4, 5, 6 times a week, I don't know, more, and have the most transcendent, illuminating, mind-blowing, stress-relieving, just knock your socks off, see the divine, merge whatever, come back, and it's just so renewed and it's so beautiful. It's like, why would you want to just go for pleasure? It seems like it would be a lesser thing. And maybe my issue
but
is...
But you're already there. You've already had the
that,
initiation
right?
into
so much more.
The transcendence. I mean, how do you work with people who would like that but also get so much... also involved in their own ego gratification? I mean, how do you get people who want that away from ego gratification?
You know what? The people I work with, I don't know what to say. I mean, the people I work with come, they learn this, and they tend to follow after me. You know, they're having the best time of their life, and I don't think they're looking for ego gratification. I think they're just having a great time, and they're, you know, they're using it. It's like anyone who's following a yoga practice. You can use it for enlightenment, but it will tone your body at the same time. So you could use this for transcendence, but if you ever wanted to have great sex, you could use it to have great sex or have a quickie. I mean, but, you know, I mean, it will give you some phenomenal skills.
Right.
So if you wanted to, you'll get them. I just
say so the true path of the tantric Kashmir Shaivist evolution. What is the ultimate goal within that tradition?
The ultimate goal is freedom in this lifetime, without a question. No, just to be free.
What does that mean, freedom?
Freedom. Okay. What it means is when you come into this life, you are bound up by your ego, by all the illusions of Maya, which is, you know, it looks like there's all these space and time and sights and sounds, and you think that all these things are real, and that the challenge for a Kashmiri Shaivist is to really go and to experience union with the divine, and the way you do that, I find a real, and is to end the sense of separation. Okay, and there are so many ways that we separate ourselves. We separate ourselves by believing that we ended our body. We separate ourselves by having our mind tell us that our mind is in control and that our sex is separate from our spirituality. We separate ourselves by telling us that, you know, but in millions of ways. And so as a Kashmiri Shaivist, by polarity, by judgment, I mean, and so we train ourselves to end the illusions of separation and to constantly integrate ourselves into wholeness. And that is freedom. When we realize that we are divine, that God lives, or the divine, or however you want to call it, we are that divine being. We are no different from Shiva and Shakti. And when we are that vibration, we learn to be, we manifest that vibration. That's why you get those rituals of Shiva and Shakti. You reenact the divine union of Shiva and Shakti. You reenact the seeding of the creative potential. You learn to shake off the boundaries. That's what the vibration does. Every time you vibrate, you cannot vibrate and keep your separations of mind and body. When you truly are in a vibratory state, you can only have one consciousness. You let go of those separations.
The way you describe it sounds like the perfect path to enlightenment, really.
What?
It sounds like the perfect path. It gives you everything. There's nothing to be denied in existence. You can have it all.
Well, I think it's a great path, you know, because it's the
perfect path because it's not about denying life, but it's about embracing all of life from the body right on up.
I think it's a perfect path because it's life-affirming, it gets rid of the polarity, it gets rid of the judgment, it gets rid of the intermediary, you know, you don't listen. The guru, it does say to work with a guru, to work with a teacher, you can work with the transmissions from these great teachings, hopefully people, you know, can come to my talk or whatever. I mean, the teachings themselves are phenomenal transmissions. And it's great because, you know, it's a phenomenal path, and a lot of people will try and not have you follow it because they have their own designs on you, and they will want to separate you. They will want to say your genitals are bad or your past was bad or you have to heal something. And every time you believe that, they're separating you from your wholeness. And the way of the Kashmiri Shaivist is to embrace everything and, you know, shake right
including
and roll.
Including your body.
And embrace
including
it all.
Every, yeah, and
fall
embrace
in love.
Including every sensation that you've ever had. It's fine because it's your sensation of your awareness of your life. So
yeah,
we're almost out of time,
really,
Patty, could you just give a name of a book for
people
to do
the
their own research
on
your website?
You know, that sit on top of the garbage heaps and all of that. And,
We're almost out
of
time.
They're proving that, you know, they're just beyond all the judgments.
Right. So just give us your website.
I'm having a better orgasm now. I figured it out. I think my past is one of the better ones. Thank you very much.
No, Patty?
Yeah?
We're almost out of time, so just give us your website. And
absolutely. Expanded-orgasm or expandedlovemaking.com.
Wow. I mean, there's so much information that we can cover. I mean, if we had another hour, it'd be good to do that. But we'll do another show, okay, at some point?
Let's do another show. And I'd just like to invite everyone to just take a moment and just shake it loose and just feel themselves as one person and ask themselves, you know, how can I let go of... How can I be anything other than one person when I'm just shaking all over and just feel the oneness and how good it feels to be one body, heart, body, mind, and spirit, and how good it feels to just be one whole being, you know, next time, anytime you want, just get to that vibration of the Shakti.
Thank you. That feels good. When is your radio show on?
Yes, I have. Well, I have a podcast on Personal Life Media, the Expanded Lovemaking Show. It's all on my website,
okay.
expandedlovemaking.com. And do come if you can to my New York show, my workshop, my podcast.
That will be Friday night, June 22nd.
Friday night, my talk, June 22nd in New York.
SexySpirits.com
has some information and my one-day vibrational touch for rapture sensational play shop day will be June 23rd, and my more advanced class will be June 24th.
I look forward to seeing you in New York, Patty, and also doing some more interviews with you for the television show.
Oh, me too, Alan. You're such a delight. Such good questions. I invite everyone. Please have, maybe we can leave, if anyone wants to write me about the books or any information where they can write me, I'd be happy to. Or maybe we can just, I'll send you a list of some of these books that someone wants to write and get a hold of the verses themselves.
What's your email, Patty?
Patty,
what's your email?
Just get it straight for yourself.
Give them your email.
Sure. It's pattylove@gmail.com. PATTILUV.
Okay. Thanks, Patty. I'll call
you
later.
Thank
you, Alan. Thanks for being a guest.
Shake, rattle, and roll, and I'll see you soon.
Okay. This is Alan Steinfeld on New Realities. I was just talking to Dr. Patty Taylor, and like I said, she will be in New York June 22nd to the 24th. You can look up www.sexyspirits.com, and she'll be giving a whole weekend of classes. I'll be on every Sunday at the same time, and also you can look at my television show on MNN.org every Monday night at 9 p.m. If people have comments about this program or other programs that I will be doing about consciousness, I'm open to suggestions and ideas and feedbacks and blogs and all of that information that can contribute to a more enlightened programming. So please email me at newrealities@earthlink.net, and I look forward to hearing from you. And I'll be doing also programs about UFOs, about healing, about more programs on Tantra and sensuality, and a whole range of topics that are not normally explored within the consciousness realm. So I do welcome questions. I'm going to end with this song by Duke Williams and the Extremes called The Night Before the Future. And it's a really fun song of taking you into new consciousness, new realities. This is Alan Steinfeld.